Have you ever played an online card game, or do you wonder what it is and you want to learn more? Then keep listening to this episode. The COVID-19 pandemic has sadly forced all of us to being online and socialize with our friends and family. The online gaming industry has grown exponentially with the rise of COVID cases and our limitation to staying home. In the same context, I'm speaking to Mikhail Tisha. Mikhail is a creator and a mastermind behind Picture Cards Online, the most advanced customizable online party game in existence. He has used his innovative and entrepreneurial know-how to navigate the tech world over the last decade and has worked with businesses ranging from Silicon Valley startups to tech giants like Lime Bikes and YouTube. Mikhail, welcome.
I actually started out as an insurance actuary, believe it or not. Graduated from college in math, and I was deciding between grad school, real job. I ended up going for the real job. My mom had a friend who was in the actuarial profession. I thought about it. I was like, you know, great idea. It turns out, okay, there's a lot of reviewing Excel spreadsheets, things like that. I wanted to automate some of these processes, and I guess my superiors didn't really kind of see eye to eye with that sort of a thing. So I guess it was sort of portending for the future, you know, kind of my future career path, doing software engineering. I didn't know it at the time, but I ended up getting really good at Excel VBA. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I know about Excel, though.
Excel VBA. Okay. It's the scripting language that you can use to... It's a more programmatic form of being able to manipulate the cells in an Excel spreadsheet. If you wanted to do any sort of advanced operations, that would be kind of, at least the last time I touched it, which was years ago, that would be kind of the first step in order to get kind of some of the more complex operations done in Excel. So I did the actuarial thing, ended up through the Excel VBA. I was working on UIs for like insurance software companies. This company had written their own like entire user interface and whole UI suite for an insurance company to kind of manage customer accounts. So I was working on that, and on the side, this is kind of where the gaming kind of comes in. I had always been kind of a long time, I don't know if you've ever heard of the game StarCraft.
I only know Mario. You know,
know Mario. Mario's still a thing these days. I mean, yeah. Lots and lots of people play Mario. It's an enduring franchise. StarCraft is one of those. It's within the gaming community. It's really famous. It kind of paved the way for some of these games. Have you heard of say League of Legends?
Yeah.
Okay, so League of Legends, believe it or not, the origin story is that kind of style of game where you have like a 5-on-5, you know, going at it, like five different heroes on a team going against each other. The original idea for it came from an old StarCraft mini game. Okay, so StarCraft had was... It was kind of a real-time strategy game. It's very different from League of Legends, but it was a real-time strategy game that also had a map editor with kind of an event-based triggering system. Mm-hmm. So what people could do, they could go into that map editor and they could kind of build their own mini games. Mm-hmm. So the earliest version of kind of a League of Legends MOBA-style game, I think it's called Multiplayer Online Battle Arena style game. Started off in as a StarCraft minigame. How that relates to me is that I started doing kind of the StarCraft minigame thing. I ended up making dozens of little games here and there, even made like a Tetris emulator in it. I was quite proud of that at the time. I used that to kind of prototype some games. And then ultimately I took one of those ideas that had a lot of traction, mm-hmm. and it was a tower defense style game, and turned it into, I decided I wanted to make some money off of this. I decided to make an iOS app out of it. Mm. Okay. Back in the Objective-C days. So I built that out. I was super proud of it. I mean, it just learning a whole new tech stack. I guess the whole gaming thing brought me the motivation to kind of jump into this new tech stack. And I built it. I was super hyped about it. It made a grand total of $10. But I took that and I applied to a bunch of iOS developer jobs out in San Francisco. I was based in Minnesota at the time. Working there. So kind of wanted to see if I could make the move out to San Francisco, Bay Area, you know, the tech scene and all that. So I applied to a bunch of iOS positions and used this game as kind of the entryway. Say, like, okay, here's kind of my portfolio piece. And I ended up landing a job with the social game company. Yeah. It's called Funzio. And within a year, we got bought out by a bigger Japanese company called Gree. I don't know if you've heard of any of those. But yeah, that's kind of the story about how I got into like kind of serious tech jobs. Mm-hmm. And from there, and now how this relates to Picture Cards Online, as I was in this doing the social game stuff, I was also prototyping some new. I'm always kind of thinking of new game ideas on the side. And one of them is like a Cards Against Humanity style game. I wanted to make like kind of a web app out of it. I don't know if you're familiar with that kind of the call and response, the apples to apples or Cards Against Humanity. Have you played any of those?
No, I saw your link and I tried to play around, but I perhaps, you know, need a little bit of more help before I get.
Absolutely. Sure. So the basic idea is it's a round by round game. There'll be like a black card, which is kind of the question. It'll be kind of a Mad Lib style. It'll be a sentence with like a blank card in it, with a blank in it. And each player will have a collection of white cards or answer cards, which they can use to fill in the blank. And then what each player will do, will pick one of the white cards from their hand and then kind of play it. And then one person will read out the black card with the white card answer inside the blank. Okay. Mm. So it's like a Mad Libs fill in the blank kind of thing. And then they'll pick the one that's the funniest, that sort of thing.
So you essentially want to have some kind of engagement there between different players, right? The topic could be anything, or you have to pick a topic there.
So each of the question and answer cards comes out of a deck.
Oh.
So it's kind of a pre-built collection. There are options for you can write your own answer if you wish, or in the case of Picture Cards Online, I've innovated quite a bit in the sense that you can have things like pictures and videos for answers, and lots of quality of life stuff. I've even made it so that you can like stream it on twitch.tv if you've ever have you heard of Twitch at all?
Yeah, I heard it.
It was actually in the news fairly recently, where a U.S. politician used the platform to play a game of Among Us with a number of top streamers on the platform, and kind of using it as an engagement tool with some of the younger audience. Mm-hmm. So Twitch and gaming in general is kind of becoming a little more mainstream in that sense.
So how do you then, you know, obviously, you know, you have your community now, right? So you've already grown into a certain number, I believe. And how do you keep that, you know, outreach? Like, how do you do the outreach now? Like, or it is a word of mouth, like, okay, hey, yeah, guys, wanting to join this game, or like, you know, how do you do that?
Word of mouth. Every week there is a verified influencer on YouTube. Some verified influencer on YouTube who plays the game and posts a video about it. So it's kind of self-perpetuating in that regard. In the very beginning, I had nothing, and that's a whole story unto itself. How I got kind of the initial group of users. Kind of going back to my job as an iOS developer, and as I was prototyping this this web app thing out, first of all, I was learning front end web dev, and I thought this kind of call and response type game would make kind of a good starter project. And so I built the thing out. I had to learn a whole lot: database indexing, back end stuff, you know, API design, the whole works. All stuff that, as an iOS client engineer, I didn't really work with too often on a real intimate basis. So I'm learning, I'm doing that. I build the thing out and I get maybe two users. I'm like, okay, what can I do from here? So what I did is I went on YouTube and looked for influencers who had played like Cards Against Humanity or like kind of similar games. And some of them had emails. I emailed like 50 different influencers. One of them actually ended up checking his email, which is just, I mean, lightning strikes. That is never going to happen again.
Yeah.
Has never happened since, by the way. Just one guy checked his email, and it turned out to be like a group of YouTubers with a combined subscriber count of about 10 million. That one came a bit later. But the one I feel like I'm personally really proud of was I found an influencer who left his, you know, kind of P.O. box address on his YouTube about page. So I wrote him a handwritten letter about, you know, hey, I built this new Cards Against Humanity style game. It's got all these features, yada, yada, yada. Packed it up, sent it out to him. And about a month later, he played it on a live Twitch stream with his friends in front of 10,000 viewers. And I was like, that was the beginning. That's when it kind of started. And ever since then, I've had kind of a close relationship with influencers in terms of they play the product and they kind of hint at product direction moving forward. Okay. So most of the really cool features in the game, especially like the Twitch integration and like being able to flip the cards over one by one, things like that. They were all recommended by Twitch streamers. Like they explicitly asked for it. So I've watched a ton of live video of the game being played, and that really heavily informs my product decision, you know, feature decision moving forward.
Yeah, because that is interesting what you are able to do, because now you have certain audience and you're receiving a lot of feedback and you're able to incorporate those feedback into your own product, which is, I think, the best way to sort of, you know, evolve the product, you know. So often we assume that this is what the audience wants and we are wrong. But now in your case, like you are doing exactly what the audience is looking for, which is really good. And then you mentioned, like, you know, you had those big spike after those influencers started to play your game. And can you maybe, you know, rewind a little bit, like, as far as how much time you actually took in terms of development, like the early stage when you had just had maybe one or two users, like you said, and then to reach a point, like, you know, what was the timeline? If you have to think about maybe a year or 2 years, like, what do you think about?
It I mean, between building out the initial prototype took maybe a couple months. Wasn't that long. And then, I mean, once I got, you know, kind of no users, I was strongly considering just shutting the thing down right there and then. But then I was like, you know, why don't I give it a shot, take a look and see if I can find some influencers and maybe hope that one of them tries it out. yeah. And fortunately, in my case, it worked.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting because you know, you're thinking that there's some kind of engagement with your application mm-hmm. or the game itself, and then when you don't have traction, you are about to throw away, and then all of a sudden now you have traction and you have a nice little problem to handle now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And in the beginning, yeah, I mean, I guess as is the case with anything that receives an unexpectedly high amount of traffic, the server crashed and you know, I had to fix all sorts of scalability issues. And that was a challenge unto itself. And again, I just started learning like web development and then, you know, learning how to set up a backend. So that was challenging, but ultimately I got everything taken care of and yeah.
So at the moment, are you the only developer, you know, or founder? Like, how do I call you in that regard?
The whole way it has been a one-man project.
But that works, right? Because you don't have any kind of dependencies. You don't have to consult with anyone, which actually works in a way, right? Because you choose your time, you develop, and then you publish, and hopefully it works. And in your case, it actually worked. So, mm-hmm. But then you also mentioned there is a problem with the scalability. Maybe you want to scale, maybe you want to add extra features. And mm-hmm. How do you see that happening in that perspective?
How do I see it happening? I feel like I just, when there's a feature I want and I'll maybe ping some of the power users of the product and they'll kind of give their own feedback because they're people. See, this is the advantage of having traction. You can like reach out to your users and get good feedback from people who really, really know the product inside and out. For years, I've been the sole developer on the product. There are people who know a lot of the challenges of the product more intimately than I do because they just play all day. So I'll kind of loop back get in touch with them. And fun fact, it's extremely popular in Germany. Ooh. So a lot of the players, this is also why I have lots of internationalization features in my game. Yeah. It's because it started to get traction in Germany and lots of other countries. Germany is at the time number one gaming influencer played it.
That's a lot, right? If you think about the amount of people living in Germany versus the US, perhaps the number is quite high, you know, in that way. Mm-hmm. And I actually saw the different languages option, you know, accidentally mm-hmm. I popped into that section. So yeah.
Yep. So he played it. Then once I realized what had happened, I was like, okay, I gotta kind of figure out internationalization strategy because apparently the Germans said, okay, so there's a feature where you can kind of build your own deck for the game. Like I mentioned, there's a deck that you play with. People can build their own decks in mine. So apparently, even though I didn't have any German language features at all at the time, apparently they had been making decks in German putting them in the game. And then he ended up using some of those decks. And I was like, okay, so I've got to improve discoverability and, you know, split it by language, things like that. So yeah, it was an interesting experience. And to kind of loop back into getting feedback from users, sometimes I have to talk to German users who don't know how to speak English. So they're talking, and I have a separate window open with Google Translate going back and forth, trying to communicate. It actually works fairly well.
But still, you know, it's not, let's say 100%, but it generally works, right? So you did all right in that case.
Yep.
Yeah. And how many other, you know, platforms are there, you know, the similar to what you are doing right now? You know, do you see other, you know, platforms where people can go and create the similar kind of, you know, cards and play with that? Like,
there are other platforms, but they're not really fully featured in the sense that mine is. Like I mentioned, I've had years of experience watching Twitch streamers, interacting with them, interacting with YouTubers, trying to get like the full range of feature set into my product, and especially with regards to being able to vote on your own Twitch, like being able to hide your hand from streamers if you're a streamer, things like that, and being able to reveal one by one the cards and building your own decks, things like that. These are all features that you're not really going to find in any other platform.
And if you think about your operation at the moment, like, you know, you are, everything is done by you at the moment, and it's easier. But if you think about a long-term strategy, like, how do you plan to monetize that, or you have already done that?
I've thought about it. As far as monetization, it's not really a priority for me at the moment. I'm just kind of looking to I'm looking to build the world's largest call and response type engine. Okay, I want to get as many users as possible onto the platform, and it doesn't really cost me all that much. It's running on kind of commodity Linux VMs. So it's not, yeah, it's the costs are less than 100 a month.
Yeah, and that's interesting, like, if you're able to do that within that context. But how do you want to, let's say, beyond, like, let's say a year from now, 2 years from now, you know, I'm sure, you know, it will be a moment where you would feel like, okay, what am I doing really? You know, you know, I've seen entrepreneurs who developers like yourself who goes to a certain extent, and then they end up like, I need to now find a motivation on this particular, you know, project. Because that's, you know, at the beginning you thought it was just your hobby, and then you saw some traction. Now, you know, you want to, you know, capitalize the users that are using the platform, because at some point you want to be you know, thinking, okay, you know, I need to get something out of it, right? So so maybe, you know, I've seen those, you know, and maybe the question is coming from my learnings talking to entrepreneurs. How do you see the future then?
I've been looking into different monetization models. There's I could always do ads or the Patreon thing, you know. Just from my initial observations, I think I could cover the server costs pretty easily with that. That's more down the line if, you know, if at all the situation warrants it.
And do you have other ideas, like similar ones, or maybe a different game altogether? Like, you know, at the moment, maybe you're engaged with this one, but then you're thinking, maybe I should be also thinking about creating something else, right? So do you have...
I'm kind of focused on this idea right now, but there could be other games down the line that could, it could serve as kind of a traffic funnel for some of those, for some of those games. I haven't really thought that far ahead, but it's something to think about. And as an entrepreneur, you definitely want to be thinking about, how do I sustainability.
Yeah. Because every time we see that, when I speak to anyone who's just coming up and have seen the traction now and they're excited. Now, at the same time, they also have backup, in their back of the mind, they already have ideas that they're more like, okay, this is now up and running. Now I want to think about other ideas that mm-hmm. I always wanted to try out. And mm-hmm. and yeah, I mean, it's an interesting journey, right? If you think about it in that perspective, mm-hmm. it's an interesting journey as an entrepreneur or a creator in your case. That's why I want to sort of look into other things that you are curious about. What keeps you awake at night now?
So I actually have an event coming up in a couple of weeks where I want to organize the world's largest single online card game. Mm-hmm. So with all this influencer support, I want to, I'm expecting somewhere on the order of thousands of people in one single game during peak hours on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And thinking about the technical challenges around that, trying to get that many concurrent users in one game, so many, I don't know if you're familiar with the term O of N squared. Mm-hmm. A typical example would be a chat or a messaging application where you have a number of people in one chat room. When one person says something, the message has to be broadcast to everybody. Right. So if there are N people talking, you'll have an order of N squared, different operations that have to be done. N for each of the N people. This N squared complexity comes up in other applications, like kind of the network effect as to why, say, a social network like Facebook has such strong pull. It's hard to make another social network because the amount of value created by the Facebook social network is on the order of N squared, where N is the number of people on it, connections with other people, things like that. But in terms of computational complexity, there are a number of operations in my initial implementation that aren't quite going to scale to that many people. So kind of working around that and building out new features for kind of the showcase event. That's what's keeping me up at night right now.
You mentioned at a time there'll be thousands of users. I'm sure you are testing it out, like maybe simulating it with thousands of users or something. I don't know, what are you using to simulate that?
I still have to figure that out.
I gave you that tip now.
yep. No. This is something I definitely thought through. I've got a solid power user base. I can test out at a small scale there. I'm thinking of writing some automated tools to test out the connectivity. But as far as an overall strategy, we'll see.
But I'm a consultant and I mm-hmm. help, project planning and those aspects. I've been doing this for my life. And no matter how much I plan things, it can always go wrong, right? So, mm-hmm. so like you said, we will see. That's a correct approach, because you can do all sort of planning today and you would perhaps execute on that. And you are preparing for the worst case. But at the end of the day, it's the day that counts, right? Everything should be in aligned, so.
Right. I like to use the quote they say about, I think it came from Mike Tyson directly,
Yeah.
Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
In the face, yeah.
You've heard that one.
Yeah. So, it's interesting what you're doing. What are other possibilities within your platform? At the moment, yes, you have more people engaged. And what do you think about other possibilities using your platform?
Realistically, I haven't thought through that yet. I just want to make this the best game of its kind, period. It's taking less of the monetization approach and more of the craftsman approach. Just build the best possible thing, and ads, Patreon, that sort of thing, maybe in the distant future, but
what I'm saying is, as far as the functionalities or yep. as far as the let's say usability, maybe you've already created a mobile app for this, or you know it can be used in different browsers. I don't know, you know, and that's one thing. At the same time, there might be the possibility to chat between users. I don't know. I'm just guessing, right? So those aspects, like what are possible, what is not possible at the moment?
Those are already in.
Yeah. So that's perfect.
There you go. It's already playable on every browser. I've seen it played on Windows, Mac, iOS, Android. I've seen it played on a PlayStation browser, Xbox. And people have streamed it on these platforms too, and it's really amazing. Some people will actually select things with their like Xbox controller, apparently it works.
Yeah, as long as it works, you know, it's fine, you know. And you yourself, like, do you play your own game?
I used to a lot more. I still do from time to time. When there's a streamer who plays it, I'll pop into the Twitch chat and they will sometimes ask me to play with them. And so I do. And it's always interesting. They're always super appreciative to have me there. And I get to talk to them about the game and what I'm planning for it. And it's a ton of fun.
Yeah, and so far, what has been the number of users that have played at one point in time? Like, what is the record so far?
Concurrently,
yeah.
I don't actually know the record. It's on, I would say it's on the order of, say, 5,000 to 10,000 people.
At one point
on New Year's Day.
Ooh, wow.
That was the big one. I mean, it kind of makes sense. People play party games. They're waiting for the ball to drop, and you know, what do you do?
That's interesting. What else, you know, can you look into, you know, as far as your effort is concerned? Like, you know, maybe you're looking for the other avenues, or maybe you're looking for other developers like who can help you and support you into creating this into more of a community driven platform. Like you always talk about community part, so maybe you want to onboard more support so that you don't have to do everything on your own, right? So are you also looking forward to those people onboarding and maybe creating a developers, you know, I don't know, a platform? I don't know.
I thought about it, but it's like, as far as the community-driven aspect, so far, users, like I mentioned, yeah, users can make their own decks. Users have made over 50,000 decks so far.
Ooh.
For the game. Okay. It's heavily user content generated, and it's... That's the bulk of the interaction that I kind of need with, as far as a community aspect. It's relatively straightforward to run and to make new features, and it's kind of nice in a sense having my own kind of personal sandbox where I can try stuff out. This is actually how I got started with learning React.js. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. React.js. It's a relatively new web framework. It's super fun to build out components in, and I actually got started with it by replacing like small features within my existing web app with React.js components, and it slowly kind of took over the whole rest of the app. So in a sense, as far as gathering more people, onboarding, I'm not really thinking about it in that sense. I'm thinking about it more like, this is a big personal sandbox I have. Let's see what we can do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because it is so interesting for a lot of users, right? And, you know, you must be pinching yourself every now and then, like, shit, I managed to do so much, right? So do you often think like, okay, what if I have to now share this information to other developers who will keep the legacy going forward? Like, you know, if you think about it from the community perspective, then you share your learnings with other developers or other people like who are engaged in this platform, right? Because then it makes like an ongoing thing, right? The evolution always happens. So I was more thinking in that perspective.
Okay. Sort of the long-term legacy thing. Again, I haven't thought too much about that. I may end up open sourcing the project sometime in the future.
Yeah.
Right now, it's not really in a state where it's very tightly integrated, and there are very specific steps that I know how to do. And onboarding right now could be pretty difficult. But longer term, yes, that is a goal. Kind of simplifying the process, incorporating technologies like Docker, maybe to simplify distribution. Which I don't use yet, but I definitely should near future. But yeah, that's more of a long-term thing. I haven't really identified maybe developers or who would be kind of a good person to pass it on to later on.
I'm sure there are so many things that you wanted to say. Perhaps you're not able to say it today, but you know, I'm sure, you know, 2 months from now, if I talk to you again, then you would be able to express furthermore, like, I want to learn what happens in your event. Like, it's coming up next week, or like when it is coming up?
Right. So it's Saturday, March 13th, 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So you are 9 hours ahead?
Yes. Yes. Okay. California. So
So it would be a little out of the way for you. So it would be 10 p.m. to midnight your time.
Yeah.
But the event is we're going to try to break the record for the most number of players in a single instance of a card game. And now the reason this is possible with my engine is I think I mentioned it earlier. One thing you can do with my engine is you can have every player kind of vote on the quote best thing to fill in the blanks. It's the only engine in the world that does this, and it's a perfect showcase of the interactivity and the kind of scalability of the game. Because if one person picks, like if there are like 10,000 people in a game, one person is picking the funniest one, you know, it's a little lame, to be honest. It's a perfect opportunity, and particularly with COVID quarantine, people are indoors. The game has seen a lot more traffic. This is the right time to do it.
Okay, then thank you for joining this session.
It was a pleasure talking to you, Pramod, and we'll be in touch soon.
Okay, thank you. You take care.
Alrighty.